Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from this fabulously little fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island-chained nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. It's also, incidentally, Fukushima irradiated, which is good for the economy because everybody now has a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb. Okay, now, shifting the time zone to the direct opposite, where it is now midday, I believe, here in New Zealand when we're recording this, and it is now midnight in Switzerland, where he is, Sean Cross. Welcome back to the program. Oh, welcome to the program for the first time, I should say.
Hello, Vinny. It's midnight here.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Finding it hard to stay awake. Okay, so why don't you just break it down for us, Sean, and inform us a little bit about who you are and what it is you do.
Okay, my name is Sean Ross. I'm 50 years old. I'm a South African. I'm a white South African and a veteran of a couple of wars in South Africa. I'm against wars because we shouldn't fight the wars for the pharaohs. And my theory is that the pharaohs are ruling the world. That's why it says in the Bible that the Pharaoh and its army disappeared in the sea. Well, of course, the sea never opened. It means they disappeared in the sea of peoples. They are amongst us. And that's why they put all those obelisks everywhere. And the obelisk is the symbol of the pharaonic domination. It's also a phallic symbol. And as it is carved on top, it's a symbol of the circumcision which comes from the pharaohs. Actually, they only circumcise their slaves, like the Americans. Most of the Americans are circumcised, and they are the slaves. We know it. Even the Americans know it. And they have specific reasons that the circumcision is only for the slaves. I made a film about it on my channel, Hatzefratz. That's C-H-A-T-Z-E-F-R-A-T-Z. And my other channel is Gure, which is G R-U-R-E-H, and the other channel, you can find it on this channel. So if you want to find me, just type in The Pharaoh Show, and then you'll find me. This is a 1.5-hour film about the proofs that the pharaohs are here, and all the secret symbols they are putting everywhere on their key positions, mostly on the fronts of houses. And that means if you see like the sun hieroglyph on, or the joining, these are symbols most people don't know. If you see them on the fronts of houses, that means like in the Middle Ages or during the 30-year war, which was the worst war for Europe and especially the worst for the Germans, where 2/3 of the population got murdered. In this war, the Germans were the victims only. And if they have this, because they're very mixed with us, and it's really the enemy within, and they can't be recognized anymore. And they've got problems within their community as well. So they decided to put these secret symbols on the fronts of houses and over the doors. And that means, like in a war, you can knock on the door if you're also pharaonic descent. And don't burn down the house, don't destroy it, don't kill the people in here. But you can kill all the Europeans around it, no problem. And this is one of the ways they organized. And
like ancient laser targeting.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Ancient laser targeting. Well, one of their lasers is like the obelisk. And as I said, it's a symbol of the pharaonic domination. It's also a phallic symbol. And that means this is the symbol of their warfare, the phallic or the male sexual organ. That means we mix first with the local populations
Do you?
Until after five generations only, we can't be recognized anymore. And then we fight our host from the inside out, like a virus. And that's what they do.
Now, the pharaohs make these obelisks really big, right? Do you think maybe they're compensating for something?
As it is carved on top, and there's something missing there. Yeah, that's a symbol of the circumcision. So you might say that in a way. Yeah, I mean, people have to organize like that and can't be a man like just by themselves and do the war by themselves. I mean, they have to compensate for certain things, and their way of waging wars. Exactly about it's a very good question you're asking me here. The way they wage wars is they take over all key positions and they have the peoples fight each other on a difference of ideology, like communism against fascism or against capitalism, or a difference in the color of skin, a difference in religion. And so they don't fight the wars themselves. They have us fight the wars for them. And like in the Second World War, there was one empire, like Germany. The war concerning the loss of human lives was between Germany and Russia, actually. The Russians, they lost 25 million of their people. It's unbelievable. And the Germans, about 78% of their men. So all the men were dead. So after the war, who takes all the women, the land, the power, the cattle, and everything? Well, that's the enemy within, like Stalin was, Hitler was. And this is the word, the Third Reich. The word Reich in German, that means the empire. So there's one empire, Germany, that's fighting the second empire, that's Russia. And then there is the third party, the enemy within, or the Third Reich. And that's the Third Empire. And this is where the New World Order actually started in 1945. And they have to compensate for something because they don't fight the wars. They have us do it. And that's why we have all these Hollywood films. So all these young men, they think, this is the man. This is the only way to be a real man. You know, they show it. They're like in a Hollywood film with some nice music. And there are no more initiations like before. The Celtic people had this, the Germanic or the Native Americans. They probably still have some of it, where a young man, when he was 16, he got initiated in being a warrior and a man. But that doesn't exist anymore. So a lot of young men, they think, we have to go, like in a Hollywood film, we have to go into the war, and then we are a man. But this is one of the films I made as well recently. It's called A Warrior Versus a Soldier. You can look it up on YouTube. And there are many differences between a warrior and a soldier. I will just read a couple of the text, which you can find out on YouTube. So, like, a warrior is able to take decisions himself. A soldier needs a general to take up orders. A warrior thinks autonomously and is spiritual. A soldier takes drugs and alcohol. A warrior has a code of honor. A soldier possesses neither conscience nor ethics. A warrior protects children because they're sacred. A soldier kills them, as in My Lai, Auschwitz, and all air raids on cities and bombs on children's rooms and all genocides, mass murders and massacres on civilians. All that soldiers enjoyed doing so. It's supposed to be good for the esprit de corps or something of a kind. Etc. etc. You can look it up. And this is actually one of the messages I would like to give to the American people. I mean, be a warrior and defend children and don't kill him. Don't be a soldier, because there's a big difference. And actually, the thing you wanted to be was a soldier, a warrior and a man, and not just a soldier, actually, because there's a very big difference.
A warrior of the Jarhead clan.
A warrior of the what?
The Jarhead clan.
Oh, I don't know that.
You ever heard of a Marine?
Jarhead clan, yeah, I know, okay, yeah.
Yeah. It's actually a quote from Avatar. And I was thinking of this as well. I think maybe as little as yesterday, precisely what is the difference between a soldier and a warrior? Like, I see that there's a difference in how force is applied, whereas one is to protect, one is to destroy, much like the Autobots and Decepticons. And the it just occurs to me that one group of people usually want to conquer, they're full of hate, and ultimately that hate is bestilled upon them, and going in to conquer things is actually something they're ordered to do, rather than them actually manifest that hate themselves and make their own decisions about who they go and attack, kind of thing. Like, they're merely pawns in the game. And the other side of it, the protectorate, they have things that are, they hold ideals that are higher than just my life, like, kind of thing. It's actually about saving more lives than you lose, sort of thing. Like, if you've ever seen the new film Star Trek, your father was a star captain for 12 minutes. He saved 800 lives. I dare you to do better. That kind of thing. It occurs to me that it's a warrior will sacrifice himself, whereas a soldier will gladly sacrifice everybody else, because a warrior thinks for himself for the benefit of others. A soldier does no thinking whatsoever and only works for the benefit of whoever's giving him orders.
Yeah, and exactly about sacrificing yourself. I mean, all the soldiers actually in all these wars, they were sacrificed at a very young age. The soldiers that were like at Omaha Beach, they were 17 years old or 18 years old, 19 years old. And it should be the other way around. So, I mean, there were a lot of parents and fathers who had to carry their sons into the grave. And this is a very unnatural thing. A real war against the enemy within, which we should do very soon now, it should be that the older generation should make the sacrifice, because we have lived. I mean, I'm 50, you know, I've lived and I've got children, and I'd be happy to do this sacrifice for them rather like this than the other way around. And actually, I was filming at Omaha Beach in December. I made the film, well, you find Omaha Beach on my channel, you find it. And there was a wall of the commemoration there, a sort of a U-formed stone wall. And on the outside of the wall, there's the same pyramid like on the dollar, which says the New World Order, Novus Ordo Seclorum. And on the other side, there's the American Eagle. And where the claws are, it says 666. Really, it says 666. You can see it. And, of course, it was on June the 6th. And June is the sixth month of the year at 6 o'clock. And I'm not a religious person, but it does make 666. And I know, if you go back to the pharaohs, actually, further on at the cemetery, it's a huge cemetery with all those crosses. And, well, you can also find Jews. So they are David stars instead of crosses. So they died as well. And at the end of the cemetery, you find Isis with a falcon on her shoulder. And next to her is La Marianne, which is the French Isis. Like, the Statue of Liberty is Isis. And here in Switzerland, they got Helvetia. The Germans, they have one. And, well, it's everywhere. It's all over. And the French, La Marianne, she's having a rooster, which is also it's the same thing. I have to tell you the story, because this is the Isis, the Horus Matrix. Isis, she was pregnant. This is very important to understand all these wars. And you'll find the proofs in my film. And so Isis, she was pregnant with her husband, Osiris. And Osiris had a brother. He was not his real brother, but he was a brother, as men are supposed to be brothers. And the brother, his name was Seth. Or Saturn, which is Satan, actually. And Seth, he is the god of the underworld for the pharaohs. And Seth, he told Isis, like the devil talking to Eve, if you want, he said, well, if we kill your man, then you can raise your son alone, like make out of him what you want. You can make a garden gnome out of him. He will be completely obedient. There is no fatherly tradition, like a father tells his son, like, son, listen, life is like this and like this, and I'm going to give you an initiation, like being a man and a warrior, and I'm going to teach you things for later on in life. And so Isis, well, they killed Osiris, and they scattered his body all over the Nile. And so Isis, she escaped to the River Nile, and she gave birth to her son, Horus. And she could raise Horus the way she wanted, and Seth wanted it. So in this way, mankind could be raised again, not after the image of God, but after the image of Seth and Isis, or Satan, Sethon. And it's the same thing, like if you have a wolf and you want to make a dog, well, you have to take the puppy, and then you can mold it the way you want. And this is the same thing. This is why the statue of Isis is on the American cemetery in Omaha Beach. And this I call the Horus Matrix, and this is why we have all these wars. So all these men die, and the women, they stay behind, pregnant, and they can raise mankind new from scratch after the image Seth and Isis have made for mankind. And this is the reason why we have all these stupid wars, brothers fighting brothers. And actually, the enemy is not another soldier in another uniform. The enemy is your own general and your own president, and that's the enemy within. And they and them we have to fight, not the other soldier. I mean, here in Europe, now the Germans, the French and the English, we're all friends now. And just only 50 years ago, they all murdered each other and dropped bombs on children's rooms. And
I think we're about to go to break.
Okay.
I stand alone against your mad, deadly, worldwide, conspiratorial, gangster, computer god communism with wall-to-wall, deadly gangster protection, lifelong sworn conspirators, murder incorporated organized crime, the police and judges, the deadly sneak parroting puppet gangsters using all the gangster deadly Frankenstein controls, these hangman rope sneak deadly gangsters, the judges
Welcome
and the police,
back.
Trick, trap, rob, Rick.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My special guest is Sean Ross. Is it pronounced Ross or Ross? What was it?
Yeah, well, you don't pronounce the H. Actually, it's an old Nordic name. And if you interchange the R and the O, you get horse. And if you take away the H, it gets Ross, in, like in German. So the Germanic tribes, they split into two ways. And Ross, it means also a horse, like horse. It's etymologically the same. Well, it's the first word for horse. It is still being used in Iceland, actually.
How interesting. Yeah. Well, speaking of Iceland, there's a dude from Iceland who's speaking here in Auckland tonight. I think about 5:30 at the Auckland University, the Owen Glenn Business School. He's going to be talking about how he led the Iceland Revolution, which jailed a couple of the big, massive, evil bankers, and got their country back on track, economically speaking. So that's bound to be fun. Here's an obscure reference for you.
I heard something about this, yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm a veteran as well. I was in the war in Angola, Namibia, in South Africa, in Rhodesia, in Cabinda. And it's wrong, all these wars. I mean, we're fighting the wars for imperialism, for others to get rich, and we die. I was in Afghanistan as well in 1985. I can't talk too much about it. There's something you have to know. There's a name. It's very important. It's called Octagon. It's with a C. Octagon. Octagon. So look it up on YouTube. You know, you get to my film, like Octagon rules over Pentagon, and they do rule over Pentagon. So what's Octagon? The CIA, they also have some files over it. They call it the Red House files. There's not many people who know about it. And I know that Octagon did 9/11 as well. So Octagon, it's like eight-shaped or octagonal shape. And Why octagonal? Because if you draw a line around the Templar's cross, you get an octagonal shape. And the Swiss cross is also, it's a simplified Templar's cross with the same colors. And if you draw a line around it, you get an octagonal shape. And this is why most of the police badges in England, New Zealand, Australia, the police hats in New York, they all have an octagonal shape. Because in the Middle Ages, it was the Templars. And nowadays, Templars is the Blue Octagon Army. It's the police. And they rule. They are the Templars. They never disappeared. And actually, they founded Switzerland. And this is a very strange country. They financed the wars. They financed Adolf Hitler in 1923 with 30,000 Swiss francs, which is about $500,000 today. Funny enough, after the Black Tuesday, before the American Depression in 1929, October, only 6 months later, the Nazis with Hjalmar Schacht, he was the Nazi banker of Hitler, they founded a bank in Basel, which is called the BIS, which is the Bank of International Settlements, which is the bank, the central bank of all the central banks. And this is how they got the money of what was stolen of the Americans just before the Depression. This is how they got it into Switzerland, and they financed the Nazis with it. This is how they did it. And which is very important to know is that the last of the Crusades took place in 1291. And Achim in the north of Israel now, that fell on May 18th, 1291. Only 2.5 months later, the time to get back, they founded Switzerland. On August 1st, 1291. It's still the national holiday, which they celebrate each year. So it's very obvious, and if you look at the flag, that the Templars, they founded Switzerland. And so it's very obvious as well, because the Templars, they were the banks of Europe during the Middle Ages for hundreds of years. And they invented the check, and they lent money to kings and all that. So it's very obvious that the famous Templars treasure went into Switzerland. And actually, the aim was not Jerusalem, though they killed many people there. A lot of Jews they killed as well. All of them, probably, in Jerusalem. And the aim was the pyramids and the Pharaoh's treasures, because the Templars, they were no monks. The Templars, in fact, they were second. It was a tradition in the Middle Ages for a second or third son, a nobleman or a king or a baron or something. He didn't get anything. It was only the first son who got the castle, the power, the cattle, the concubines, everything. And for the second, third sons or daughters, there was a tradition to go into a monastery. And in the monastery, there were so many of them at a certain moment, they got organized and they said, well, we're fed up with this monastery life. We're going to make our own kingdom. And for a kingdom, you need money. And that's why they did the Crusades to, not Jerusalem, in fact, but to the pyramids. And in order to get the military support of the Europeans, they said the same thing like in 91, before the Gulf War, as they said, well, Saddam Hussein is having weapons of mass destruction. Then they said, well, there's this holy city where God lives and the Son of God with his mother and his grandmother. It's called Jerusalem and it must be saved. So that's how they got all the Europeans with them. And Octagon is so the name of the Templars, and they are ruling this world, and they did 9/11. And actually, there were more and more of these pharaohs, and the word pharaoh is coming etymologically from two words in the Demotic language, which is a sort of simplified pharaonic hieroglyph language, because the hieroglyphs were only used for religious purposes only. So there was a Demotic language, and the word pharaoh is coming from two words, per-a. And per, it means the house, and big, that means, and a, it means big. So that means a big house, which is not the pyramid, but it is the big royal house of the pharaonic bloodline.
And so, it's not like New Jersey slang for jail?
For jail?
Yeah, the big house.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Yeah? I didn't know that. Is it that big? Don't they have small prisons?
Well, I don't know. The rate of incarceration of non-violent criminals these days, I bet they should be pretty frickin' big.
Yeah. Actually, for my YouTube films, they sent me in 2011, they sent me a terrorist squad. I don't call it an anti-terrorist squad. It was a terrorist squad. They put three guns on my head, a bandage over my eyes, handcuffs, foot cuffs. Now I'm getting murder threats by Octagon. That I shouldn't talk about the Templars and Octagon and that they're ruling the world. And actually, in those days, there were coming more and more pharaohs in Europe, and they were having wars because all of them wanted to be the king and wanted to have the castle, as I just explained with the Templars and all that. So the wars, we had to fight them over their problems. But after hundreds of years of wars, because the king... He wanted to stay king for all his life, and after that, he even decided his son and his grandsons would be the king afterwards. So there were a lot of other pharaohs who wanted to be king as well. And after all these wars, they said, "Well, we have to get together." So they got together, and they came to a conclusion. They said, "Well, we can't go on like this because we're going to destroy everything. We're not going to get any further. Not even we get any further. Not our slaves either." And so they decided a new system, and they said, well, everybody can be king for 4 years. You know what I'm getting at, eh?
Yeah, and so the presidency.
And then they said, well, how are we, who's going to vote for being king for 4 years? We can't vote because nobody is impartial of us. We know what's going on. And then some of them said, the stupid people, they're going to vote, the demos. So, and this is how democracy started off, and it is a circus, you know, it's...
I see so many people promoting... freedom and complaining about the loss of their democracy and how we need more democracy and things like that because we're being overruled by vicious tyrants. Excuse me, it was vicious tyrants that came up with democracy and vicious tyrants that benefit from democracy as well. Why do you still want the thing that gives you vicious tyrants controlled by vicious tyrants?
Very well said, Vinny, very well. Exactly, this is how it is. And these, I call them the Nazis, the Nazis, they were the Templars as well. Hitler, he was financed. I've got pictures of him being in Switzerland in 1923. And Octagon, that's Switzerland, the Freemasons, they came out of the Templars. So Octagon, it's like a spider's web. A spider has eight legs as well, just like octagonal. And Octagon, Switzerland, they're ruling the whole world. And they're giving orders to the worldwide web of Freemasons, and they're sitting all everywhere in every government on key position. And that's why no country in the world will ever do anything against the Swiss banks, which came from the Templars, and against Switzerland. No country will ever do anything against that.
I was thinking Truthers should start some kind of a banking thing. Like, I've had the problem with PayPal recently, and I was just thinking how awesome it would be to have a Truther run Cayman Islands or Swiss Bank or something like that, so that all the people who are actually fighting for freedom and justice and things like that in the world would have their own financial havens where the bankers couldn't steal their frickin' money. But the problem is all those havens are controlled by the bankers in the first place.
Yeah, they are. I want to tell you another thing. I mean, I was in the military for a while. I know a couple of things. And there's this torture going on, like waterboarding. And waterboarding, actually, the code name of waterboarding is not waterboarding inside the service. The name is O2T. O2 for oxygen and T for torture. And this is a white torture because there's no proof. There's no no flesh wounds. But every cell in the body is going to be damaged because of the it's a human fact that when a human breathes in, 80% of the oxygen goes into the head first, and so this is where the information is. And this type of torture, like a person that can't breathe, it will create a hypoxia, which is a lack of oxygen in the organs' tissues. And this further on will make a glycolysis, which is a chemical breakdown of glucoses into lactic acids, acids under anaerobic conditions. So if you see those guys like in Gitmo or Guantanamo with these masks, I mean, we've all been asking, why do they have these masks? Well, they have them because they can't breathe enough. They can only, they will never get enough oxygen. It's hot there as well. So they're being tortured by O2T, and this will wreck a person for the rest of his life, because every cell in the human body will be tortured, and you don't see a thing from the outside. I have some medical analysis of it, official. Don't ask me how I got them. And this has to do with the reason as well that I don't want to put the video on. There's an English bloke, a Scottish bloke, he has put them on the internet under the Zurich files in Google. And I made a film about it where I filmed it, where I videotaped it so you can read it. So just look for O2T and then you know what waterboarding really is.
Okay. Well, it's just basically oxygen deprivation. Like they try all these different types of deprivation on you, like sleep deprivation, food deprivation, water deprivation, light deprivation, human contact deprivation, I think. And you know, I'm noticing a common theme here. If you want to torture somebody, if you want them to suffer, just take away the things that they need to survive properly.
Yeah, it's very well said with the deprivation. Exactly, that's it. Huh? And oxygen is the most important thing. I mean, you can't go very long without oxygen.
It's really quite. And what the interesting thing I find about it is, torture doesn't actually work. Like, if you're trying to get information out of somebody, torturing doesn't actually work. The only thing torture really accomplishes is scare the hell out of people who aren't being tortured. Like, that's basically the point of it, isn't it? It's pure terrorism. Meet our demands or we will torture you. And I don't care what information you give us. We're going to make you suffer and we're going to torture your children in front of you and your wife and your family and all of that kind of stuff, right? That's the whole intention of it, to scare people off fighting against them for fear that they might get tortured. Whereas those people who are being deprived of their human rights and liberties and things like that, they're very, very rarely anybody who possesses any information. And the torturer doesn't give a frack if they've got information or not. It's just their job to terrorize them, you know? And yet, they're not the terrorists, are they? No, it's the people that they're torturing without trials or rights of any kind. The bad guys, right? Isn't that how we're supposed to really look at things, in the exact opposite way to the way things really are? How did society get like this, you know? How did we slowly turn from caring about others, thinking that rights mattered, and having a heart, having a brain, having a soul, to being this massive? Put your right.
On December 16th, 1961, the world turned upside down, then inside out, and I was born screaming in America. It was the tail end of the American dream. Just before we lost our innocence irrevocably, when the TV eye brought the horror of our lives into our homes for all to see. I was told when I grew up I could be anything I wanted. A fireman, a policeman, a doctor, even president it seemed. And for the first time in the history of mankind, something new called an astronaut. But like many kids growing up on a steady diet of Westerns, I always wanted to be the cowboy hero. That lone voice in the wilderness, fighting corruption and evil wherever I found it, and standing for freedom, truth, and justice. And in my heart of hearts, I still track the remnants of that dream wherever I go, in my never-ending ride into the setting sun.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's our final segment here with Sean Ross, or Sean the Horse, as he's known to his military chums. Welcome back.
Yeah, hello. Yeah, so I'd like to... I'm quite impressed, by the way, by the way you're doing the show. I mean, it's very good. You're an intelligent man. The way you you grab things and you have a lot of knowledge. So my respect, Vinny.
A lot of that knowledge comes from people who are more knowledgeable than I in the real ways of the world, because I'm just kind of young and I have to absorb all this information via vicariously, sort of by osmosis. I never get to really have a lot of these experiences myself. These are just things that I'm told by people that are older and wiser than myself.
Yeah, so being humble is one of your other good characteristics. Good, very good. Yeah, I want to tell you about like 9/11. There's an important thing to know, that one of the biggest sacrificial holidays of the pharaohs is September the 11th. It's called Enku Tatach. You can find it out and look in Google. It's still being celebrated in Ethiopia nowadays. It's their new year, by the way. And it's a sacrificial festivity, actually. And 9/11 was done by Octagon, and I tell you why. The aim was to destabilize the Arab financial world, and due to the consequent U.S. invasions into the Muslim world, the whole financial world got destabilized. Afterwards, we had the banking chaos, and they robbed a lot of our money. Saddam Hussein, he fell, and Gaddafi, he fell. They all fell. So the Swiss banks, the Templar banks, they made enormous amounts of money, and they all got it into Switzerland, into Octagon. And so there's a lot of people who say, well, the Jews did it and all that. I can tell you, I'm not a religious person, or I'm not a Jew lover as well, but it doesn't fit. It's not them. In the Middle Ages here in Europe, we already had the nobility and we were their slaves. And there was a time there weren't even any Jews yet. And they were the ones in power then. There never was any sign that they stepped down from power. They just went into Freemasonry. They got another uniform. They went over to the U.S. and everything. So, no, I don't think it's the Jews. I wouldn't mind, actually, I mean, if somebody thinks it. But it doesn't fit. We want the real enemies of mankind. And it doesn't fit. I mean, the Jews, they were already fighting the New World Order in Masada, fighting the Romans. They were fighting the British Empire. They killed their own blowing up the King David Hotel. They even killed their own president. They're burning the Israeli flag, they do, because the religious ones, they say, well, God never told us to have our own state and they're going to punish us. So it doesn't fit. It was Octagon and the financial world. And due to the collapse of the Arab financial world, they made an enormous amount of money, and that was the aim of it.
Hey, Sean, yeah. I wanted to know, do you have a website of your own? Because Googling you here, you come up on a lot of very high-profile places, you know, Project Avalon, davidicke.com, plenty of YouTube videos. So I was wondering if you have a website of your own.
No, I don't. I'm a real jerk with computers. I never really learned it. It's only 2.5 years ago I did my first email in my life. And actually tonight, with the help of my 12-year-old son, it's the first time in my life I'm Skyping. And, I never learned it. And, I was tortured as well through O2T, and, they really destroyed my health. That was here in Octagon. I can't even go out of the house alone anymore due to the threats of the Swiss Nazi police and the Swiss Nazi justice department. It's really bad, and they did destroy my health. And I don't have any friends here in this country here, so there's nobody really who can help me. So unfortunately, no, I don't have a website. But I have these two YouTube channels, and if other people put my films on their websites, I don't mind. I just want to change something, and I that's my aim. I want, you know, freedom and justice in this world, and that the bad ones, that they will get them and finish them, you know.
So do you know what the name of your YouTube channels are?
Yeah,
Chat Zifrats, I've got here.
What?
Is it Chat Zifrats?
Yeah, Chat Zifrats, that's the one. And the other one is Gure, that's G-I-U-R-E-H. But if you just type in The Pharaoh Show or Octagon, you will come automatically to one of my films on my channel. And, yeah, also the films about the Omaha Beach and all the other proofs. Also about the depression and how the Bank of International Settlements was founded just 6 months later in order
okay,
to
so that's it. All right, so that's Glure, G-L-U-R-E-H?
No, that's G-I-U-R-E-H. There's no L.
That's interesting. Oh, G-I-U, do you mean?
Yeah, R-E-H.
Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah.
So it's, and on this channel, you can find the name of the other channel as well.
Okay. All right.
First film I did was 2.5 years ago, and I didn't even know how to do an upload and all this. And now it's about the only thing I know is just, you know, I can't do any cuts in the films. I just push the button, film it, and talk at the same time, and then I upload it, and that's all I can do.
Well, you know what? I know a lot of people who are really talented filmmakers who don't get anything up at all, ever.
Yeah, that exists as well, yeah.
So you got that going for you. You don't know what you're doing, yet you're actually accomplishing something. Yet I know a hell of a lot of people who know heaps about it who don't accomplish nothing.
Yeah, well, I don't want to boast, but that's a philosophical thing. There are two types of intelligence. You know, there are people who can suck up a lot of things at the university or at a film school or video school to learn how to make videos and all that. And then there's another type of intelligence, people who can find out things and an autonomous sort of intelligence and invent things. And for inventors, there's a lot of sensitive people, actually. And nowadays, all the power in the world is in the hands of all these people who have been sucking up all the things, the sensitive people, who were the inventors, who invented it, like cars and all these things, the television, everything. And these people are sensitive. They are being pushed down by all these cold-hearted people who only can suck up things like 6 years in university, but who can never in their lives can invent anything. And this is one of the reasons why the whole society is going down the drain. Because these people who can suck up things, which is a part of our intelligence, but it's not an independent sort of intelligence. It's not an intelligence like inventing things. And all the inventions are in the hands of commercial people, businessmen, and people have been studying like 6 or 7 years. And if you've been pumping your head full of things 6 or 7 years, then there's no more place to invent anything or see something which is not in the process of a university or something. It's the same with music. People have been on the conservatory and things like that. There's a lot of Russian composers who said this, and that's why the Russian composers hardly ever went to a conservatory, because they know if you fill your mind up with all of these things for 6 or 7 years, you can never compose anything anymore in your whole life.
You know, it's interesting. I was going to make a short film, and I'd wrote the script, and I'd come up with all these different camera angles and things to that, and I wanted to do the whole thing in one shot, right? And my cousin Daisy, Lucy Lawless, you know, Xena Warrior Princess's daughter, she's my cousin, and he got into this cafe, and she didn't do anything at all to help me, because she gone to film school. She didn't actually tell me anything that I could do or should do or that might help or would help. She just kept telling me things that I shouldn't do. Like, for example, don't do the same kind of camera panning as they did in the Darjeeling Limited.
Yeah.
Like, obscure BS that doesn't mean anything is not helpful or anything. And that's what schooling does to you, I think. It stops you from being creative. It stops you from freeing your mind enough to create new things.
Exactly, that's so true. A lot of information has come up, like in my films, through enormous sufferings. And I think this is the true essence of being a martyr. I'm not a religious person, but I must admit that I suffered so much, really. I've seen my children suffering, the torture, the terror. And all of a sudden, my eyes opened up, and I could pierce through the clouds, and I really got information in a way I don't even really understand sometimes.
Yeah. Oh well, it doesn't matter anymore. Well, thank you very much, Sean, for coming on the show with me today. Unfortunately, we're out of time. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you can check out the archives at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com, and we upload the YouTube videos every day to the YouTube channel Mr. News Guerrilla Media. Check it out on YouTube. We'll see you again sometime, folks. Thanks.